All right. I realized I had it pulled up in the other window too. So I got the full theme song twice. Welcome into the Georgia Show on your Sunday night. I am Jake Roos. He's Rusty Mansell. We do this every week for you, and we are happy to do it. Happy Thanksgiving week to everybody. Going to be a big one and a weird one, man. Just a kind of a strange week, Rusty. We got a game on Friday, right here in the middle of high school football season, still rolling. I would say you got a busy slate on Friday night, huh?
Well, I'm going not doing the high school game, obviously. You know, like I told the TV station, so look, I got a day job. No, y'all don't believe that, but I've got a day job covering Georgia. And Brandon Adams from Dog Nation, you know, he's the same boat. He does the games with me. Kaylee, my daughter, who works for Dog Nation too. So we're all going to be at Georgia Tech. That's our day job. And I'll say this for Georgia high school football. They tried to avoid this, and they did the right thing, having a bye week, but cannot control hurricanes and chemical plant issues and everything that happened to Georgia high school football this year. So they were able to – they had to use this week. So that's what happened there. Not great. I've had some people reach out to me. They're kind of mad, thinking that Georgia Tech really had something to do with this. This is TV deal. I don't know if this is a one-year deal or not, but, you know, I would imagine just Kirby Smart and Brent Key, Kirby Smart specifically, thinking that he was getting an extra day of, you know, on the jump if they in the SEC championship. And guess what? That worked out. They get an extra day of rest. So,
yeah,
that's kind of what happens, kind of where we are, and it is what it is, man.
We'll talk a little bit about Georgia Tech here later in the show, but I want to start off talking about what you know after UMass. We had an interesting – it was an interesting game, Rusty. It was, again, one of those incomplete ones from the Georgia Bulldogs, which has been so frustrating this season. I put on the board yesterday that I said, you know, it feels great to see Carson Beck have two strong games in a row, and someone commented and said, we're on to complaining about the defense now. Keep up. Just a little bit of a – there were a few real baffling plays out there. I think we can call it what it is, or at least what I felt like it was. You were there, so you may have a better perspective on it, Rusty. It felt like the Dogs overlooked this one a little bit defensively. I don't know that they came with as much juice as they needed to. The physicality was lacking. They weren't tackling in the way that they needed to. Like I said, Carson Beck, strong performance from him. Great to see week two, but the defense now got some people wringing their hands together.
God, don't let me get him in. Don't let me get you in trouble by saying this, but I'm going to say this. Our good buddy Matt Godwin, who we've had on many times, and he is probably – we get the most requests. We need to have Matt Godwin on more. Matt Godwin worked side-by-side with Kirby Smart for 4 years, and then I think he worked for Georgia for two more. So total of 6 years he was in there. But the last 3 years, he was basically side-by-side with Kirby Smart every day. Bless his heart.
I'm sure that was a calm way to spend your day, man.
Yeah. But Matt Godwin reminds me from time to time, and this is not indicative of Georgia. This is more indicative of college football. And he goes, Rusty, these kids aren't getting up every game. I don't care what they do. I don't care how much juice you put in that building. I don't care how much music you play. He goes, it ain't happening. He goes, these really good teams are going to get up about four times a year. And I remember right before Georgia played Texas, he goes, how are you feeling? And I said, man, this is a game. And he goes, Rusty, they're going to be up for this. And he was right. And, you know, you would think that Ole Miss game, they'd have been up. They just got their butt kicked, and it happens. But, you know, he texted me last week before Tennessee. He goes, nope, guys are walking into a storm. He goes, this team is going to be focused and they'll be ready to play. And I think that's a lot. I mean, I know Georgia fans will go, well, it's Georgia. You should be up every game. I get it. But it's in reality, they were a 45-point favorite or whatever they were, and they kind of knew. And that's no excuse. I mean, you need to be physical with teams. You need to tackle teams. And I was there. I actually – that might be, Roos, first time I've sat in the stands of a home game. Jake, I don't know. 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
Now, I have been in the visitor sections. I was at LSU in 2018. I've been in some visitor sections, but that's the first time I've sat in the stands, and I could tell from where I was sitting that the lack of physicality, especially in the front seven on defense, was not there as opposed to the week before. And you got to find a way to make those guys turn the switch on. I think the 2022 Georgia team will go down one of the best football teams ever in college football, because they would absolutely rip your throat out. I mean, they would stomp. If they smelled blood, it was over. And they destroyed everybody in front of them except for basically Ohio State. They won that. And then poor TCU got –
sure.
Whatever they did. You know what I mean? TCU's
still recovering, I think.
TCU, that was not good. But, yeah, and listen, based off that scenario, Jake, I think you're gonna get Georgia this week against Georgia Tech. You're gonna get Georgia nighttime. Gonna be black. The players are calling for blackout again. I've already seen Tate Ratledge was on social media retweeting or reposting some of the places, for blackout. So it was a great setting in Tennessee yesterday. That was there was a lot of kids there, and there were a lot of dads just putting in time yesterday, including myself. Go Dogs.
Sure. Absolutely.
Go Dogs, all I can say.
Like I said, I mean, to me, I get the physicality was concerning, not for the long term, right? I think that, like you said, Georgia's had instances where it's proven its physicality. Now, I will say, I got a little bit nervous about some of that secondary play, because they popped a couple off on those guys yesterday. That CB2 spot worries me, Rusty. That's one that has me kind of scratching my head right now, because Daniel Harris has had moments. He was great against Tennessee for the most part. I didn't feel it was a very good effort from him yesterday personally. He outsnapped Julian Humphrey something serious. I mean, Ellis Robinson and DeMello Jones outsnapped Julian Humphrey yesterday. So that's a situation that has me kind of, looking around a little bit. But you saw some good things too defensively. I thought Chris Cole, another nice performance for him. That kid's just coming along really beautifully, man.
He's good.
He is probably to the defense what Nate Frazier is to the offense. But that's probably KJ Bolden, who at this point is just a weathered veteran of this team. Offensively, let's flip the script though. Dogs, very, very solid. I mean, a lot of contribution for a lot of people.
In control, I felt like the whole time, could do what they wanted to do. And, got spurts of run game. There were spurts of Carson Beck just being that guy. And then there were spurts of Carson Beck going, what was he doing on that play? He missed Dom Lovett on a third down slant where Dom was in that amount of space. He was wide open, just overthrew the ball. And little inconsistent there, and you really would. Everybody was hoping that Gunnar Stockton would get some reps and really get some reps there and really show what he can do. I've made no secret about it, and I've said it on our board. I've said it everywhere that Gunnar Stockton's a clear number two. Now, I do think this is going to be a wide open quarterback battle, but you want to know where it is right now. It is Gunnar Stockton, and then it's the rest of those guys right now. I mean, he's got so much of a head start right now on that number two. But I told some people yesterday that they're in that building a lot, and they were like, dude, this guy's had a great fall, and Carson Beck, Kirby Smart stood by him, and rightfully so. But I think we start flipping the switch and see where things are going to go. It's going to be real interesting to see, does Georgia bring in a portal quarterback or not? Not sure they will. I do think this is going to be a wide open job. I think people kind of forget about, Ryan Pugliese. I'm not ready to tuck Ryan Pugliese away for a year either. Another year, I'm telling you. So Jaden Rashad has come in, and obviously he's got a ways to go. He has got some tools, but he came to Georgia to develop. And the mind frame he was and where he is, kids love him in the locker room. So he's got a ways to go, though. He's got a ways to go. Gunnar Stockton right now is the clear number two from everything I hear, and he should be, because he's been there so long, he knows the system.
Yeah. Personally, Rusty, I mean, I don't really think that there's much else to say about this game. It was UMass. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, Georgia – you know, there were some frustrating moments. You know, they were able to. One of the other concerning things, I guess, for me was watching them kind of go up the gut a couple of times, which is what something you saw Dylan Sampson in Tennessee do. Nico, I think, busted one, if I remember correctly. They kind of just went right up, I mean, right at him and took it up. And so, you know, you've got to clean some of that stuff up. But I think that overall, you know, Georgia came in, they handled business. A lot of young guys got to play in this one, as you would hope. A lot of experienced guys, guys that – don't always get to see the field. Colin Drake got in there and got a few snaps, and you know, big Kirby senior. Said it was good to, you know, he said, look, these guys get in there and they just get walloped on and they get beat up and they never get to hear their name called or get to see it out there. And so it's kind of nice to see that, always is in those instances for sure. But I think, like I said, characteristic against what you would think for a UMass game, in my opinion. Before we move it on here, I do want to shout out our friends at GameTime.co. You can use our code ON3, O-N-3. That'll give you $20 off your first purchase over at GameTime. Terms and conditions apply. Get over there, though, and check it out, man. Such a cool experience what they do over there. They make it easy for you to get in, get your tickets. It's a seamless transition. They get things delivered to you super quickly, and you're going to get the view from the seat. Now, this is this weekend, Yellow Jackets and Bulldogs, some really reasonably priced tickets in here, man. Some stuff that you can't really complain about seeing, you know, there's some $100 down in the lower bowl. So you can't really knock that, man, against especially against this squad. Look, little clean old fashioned hate, man. It's a fun game. If you've never had gotten to go, it lives up to the billing. Those people don't like each other, I can assure you.
They do not.
We'll talk about that a little bit more. But like I said, man, all in pricing. You can see it all. You can get the view from your seat. They're going to give you a great chance to kind of see everything up front. So GameTime.co, something I use personally. And like I said, I know they're a sponsor. I'd use them if they weren't, because it is a really cool experience. We've had a few people that have used them and had some great success with it as well. They enjoy it. I think you will too. Get over to Game Time and use our code ON3. That's code ON3 for $20 off your first purchase. What time is it? It's Game Time. All right, Rusty. I do want to get into Hate Week, but I do want to talk a little bit of recruiting first, because signing day is somehow almost here. I don't know how that's possible. We've got, as of Wednesday, it will be 1 week away. And that is hard for me to swallow personally, but things kind of coming in here. And as you might expect, things are getting interesting, as they always do this time of year. Ousmane Chroma took a visit this past weekend. He got to Auburn. A lot of questions around that one. We're hearing that all the time. Justice Terry, I believe, took his OV over to Auburn as well this weekend.
Still there, I think.
Yeah, right. So, you know, you're hearing maybe – you know, look, if there's a name out there, you're hearing it right now, because everybody's talking about everybody. And listen, Georgia fans, let me give you a little bit of solace here. For whatever you're feeling, so is everybody else. Nobody is feeling good right now. And I'm not talking about you as a fan base. I'm talking about these staffs are sitting there sweating it. Mm-hmm. Everybody in that building has their concerns. I'm curious, though, Rusty, looking into kind of the next week or so, anything in particular you're keeping your eye on and watching as these situations progress? All of it?
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's so new, you know. We're not really, Jake, you realize that this time next Sunday we're going in the dead period. I mean, it goes to the clock.
Yeah,
I mean, why not? I mean, yeah, I mean, you're talking about, you know, the SEC championship week. Georgia's going to sign a class on Wednesday.
Yeah.
You know, oh by the way, you're going to sign a class on Wednesday. So, you know, will Georgia have some players on their campus next weekend? Yeah, they'll have some there, but I don't know that they'll have like officials and stuff. You know, they're going to have some, they'll have a couple of officials. The quarterback from Hawaii scheduled to be there. They'll have a couple and some visits, but it's crazy that this is a week away and you don't really know what to expect. I have posted on Dogs HQ that rumors are everywhere. And I mean everywhere as far as everybody is trying to up their offers, literally, with players. So where does that, where is it at? Do I think Georgia is sitting still? They're not. They're not sitting still. Right. They're not sitting still. They're trying to hold on their guys and trying to see, you know, they'll make some last minute offers as well to some people. But nobody in the recruiting business has ever went through this. This is a sped up recruiting day. And just to give you an example, if we were 1 year ago today, we would have
about three weeks, right?
We'd have 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And two of those would be official visit weekends of no football. Okay. So you'd have the SEC championship.
Right. Oh, yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Then you would have two more weekends of official visits. Then right. You would have signing day. We don't have any of that. Jake, you know how in recruiting you used to see, I'll never forget the first picture I ever saw Kirby Smart with a recruit. He got the job and went to see Ben Cleveland.
Yeah.
That was the first kid he went to see Ben Cleveland that Sunday night. And those days are over. There's not going to be any in-home visits because they can't because of the calendar. Now, you might see one or two staffs out there, but those are the staffs that they're done, you know. And can they do it in-home this weekend? I would imagine they can, but they got to be off somebody's house next Sunday at this time, because this time next Sunday, it's a quiet period, and Sunday at midnight, it's dead period. So we literally have, just to put it in layman's terms, Jake, I would say we have 5 days left in the 2025 class because, because Saturday and Sunday are, you know, games, and then you have a few visits there. But we're literally about five days away from being 95% done with the high school class. And then, by the way, that portal opens in, 2 weeks?
Yeah, sure.
That's another whole season.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I think people are going to realize tomorrow. What are you talking about? Signing day is next week. Signing day is next week. Yeah, this is it's here.
Yeah, it's all about to start getting real. I mean, we've been saying this for weeks now, but I mean, this is crunch, man. This is if you're going to play your cards, you got to play them this week.
Man. Yeah.
You got to lay it out here. There's no way back here.
Got to lay them down.
You know, I think obviously everybody monitoring the Justice Terry situation very closely. Mm-hmm. I think we've been consistent in our stance on that. Georgia it feels the team to beat and has for some time. And you know, the Chroma situation, I get maybe people scratching their head a little bit. Look, I mean, Georgia fans, I get it. You're rational people, and I love you for the most part. But I know when you see that orange and blue, you start to get a little nervous. I know when you think about Derek Brown or Big Cat Bryant or Zykevious Walker, you start to say, oh, boy, here it goes again, right? I understand. That one to me, look, I think Georgia's just going to have to fight that one to the end. Which is the case with all of these guys. I mean, that's not unique to that situation. And like I said, the same is true. I guarantee you that there are guys that George is talking to right now that we're not putting out there that other staffs are saying, geez, oh my God, how are we going to do this? How are we going to keep them off? So this is a two-way street, folks. So don't kid yourself into thinking that these are our first world Georgia problems, because I assure you they are not.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody, look at Tennessee. David Sanders shows up at Ohio State.
Oh boy. Oh boy. Yeah, oof. Absolutely.
That's a ding ding. You talking about the start of a heavyweight fight? You know that first round where they ring the bell and you come out. They just now started to ring the bell on that one.
Yeah, the David Sanders recruitment in many ways just begun.
It's just begun. Yeah. It's been all prelims. It's been all prelims. Right. Now we're to the main event on David Sanders.
Absolutely. But no, is there anything though in particular that anybody, any name you're watching, anybody that the people need to keep on? Hunter Lacey says, as long as we hang on to Talon Taylor, CJ Wiley, Griffin, and Gibson, I'm happy. And that's, I'll be honest, that's a pretty damn good start for any class That's a nice little foursome. Talon Taylor, look, he's one of those guys that you better believe people are going to come swinging it here at the end. But I feel like we've been pretty solid with that one too, man.
That is one of those ones that Georgia, the football god shined on them, because I've said this before, Brian McClendon got on him early. He's out of Geneva, Illinois. He offered him early, one of the first offers, and Brian McClendon put in a good month on that relationship, and then he took the job with Tampa. And then James Coley took over that recruitment and carried it on and kept the momentum there. Kid loved Georgia. Kid thinks he can play at Georgia quickly. And then Ohio State and Ole Miss came calling. And that one got a little interesting this summer. But kudos to him from a Georgia perspective. He shut it down and said, that's where I want to go. I want to go to Georgia. And then not only did he say he wanted to go to Georgia, he canceled his Ohio State official. And that's saying something. And by the way, he will be playing for the state championship next Saturday at 2:00 in Illinois. And they're calling for 28 degrees and maybe some snow. And he is playing East St. Louis. So, I mean, this team, I think the team he's played on, this might be the first state championship ever. I've watched their social media. I mean, that's
the first for East St. Louis.
It is not the first for East St. Louis. East St. Louis has national championships. So they have their work cut out for them. So, you know, if you're from a Georgia fan's perspective, this kid's a great kid. He is freaking balling for this team.
Oh, man.
And he's got this team in the state championship. And, you know, that whole little community, I watched a little social, go find Geneva football, Vikings football. Go watch the social media post. They had a Friday where all the elementary schools, like every elementary school, the entire town. I mean, it's a really cool story, but they know they got the work cut out for them next Saturday. So don't look at the score and say if it's not good for them. This kid's had a hell of a year, man. And he'll be at Georgia in 3 weeks. I think he'll be at Georgia 3 weeks. He'll be practicing at Georgia in 3 weeks. And I guarantee you, Kirby Smart would drive to Illinois in a U-Haul with no heat. With no heat to make sure that this kid gets to Athens, because he is special. They got a special group now. It's not a one man show. They got a really special group. And Thomas Blackshear is a kid that I really like. Yeah. CJ Wiley, obviously, you know, you look at Tyler Williams and Landon Rowland. Listen, Landon Rowland, I mean, I'm just telling you, they play Carswell this week.
Listen, I'm telling you, man, I've been saying this throughout. For all I understand people are frustrated with drops, and they're frustrated with some of the thinness at wide receiver. I get it, man. Those are valid concerns. Mm-hmm. Go look at the recruiting rankings. Mm-hmm. You tell me the last time Georgia had a class this good. I can tell you when it was. It was when James Coley was coaching the wide receivers at Georgia last.
Yes.
This is if you want to improve that room. This is the group that it gets you moving in that direction in a major, major way.
Quickly.
Craig Lawson real quick says, need David Sanders to show up in Athens with the tackle issues we've had. Where's Searles at on this one? I'm going to tell you, I don't think he's going to show up in Athens.
I don't think that Searles has anything to do with this recruitment. I think this is out of his pay scale. I can tell you this, as a great kid from a great family. That's a great young man. I think he's got three sisters. You know, his mom and dad, I think he has three little sisters. So he's the big brother, and they're a very close family. But that got out of Georgia's scale pretty quickly when OV started. It was pretty. I was pretty sure that was coming down to Tennessee and Ohio State, and it came down to Tennessee and Ohio State.
Much to Tennessee's chagrin, they were very displeased to hear that he was there.
Georgia. Listen, for a year and a half, they recruited David Sanders as good as they could, and I do think they led for a long time there. They led with him. I know they did.
Yep.
But when he got down to business, they were not in that game.
I understand.
Hey, nothing wrong with it.
I'm fully Bryce Underwood, my man. Go enjoy it, brother. Go enjoy it.
How good a weekend you think Bryce Underwood had at Michigan?
I bet he had himself a good time.
Do you think Bryce Underwood had a good time in Michigan this weekend?
I bet he enjoyed Ann Arbor in a different way this week. Ooh, Guys, speaking of enjoyment, MyPerfectFranchise.net is here to help you enjoy things a little bit more as well. Our friends Andy Ludeke over there with MyPerfectFranchise.net. Are you a displaced corporate executive or wanting to put your career in your own hands? Or are you an experienced entrepreneur wanting to diversify? Well, Andy Ludeke and MyPerfectFranchise.net can help. Andy's a huge college sports fan and a franchise veteran, having owned multiple franchises at businesses. And using his expertise, he helps others find their American dream through a very thorough consultation and evaluation process. Call Andy, put your life and career in your own hands today. Best of all, his services are 100% free to you. So what do you have to lose? Find your perfect franchise at MyPerfectFranchise.net. That is MyPerfectFranchise.net.
Rusty. Let me answer this question here. Craig Lawson says, Tennessee has more money than Georgia. Ouch, Jimmy Haslam's killing us. Jimmy Haslam does not have the number one recruiting class in America right now. That's the Georgia Bulldogs. Georgia's doing mighty fine. Let me just put it to you this way. There will not be a freshman at Georgia that will be the highest paid player on the team ever under Kirby Smart. So that's the way he operates, and he's had pretty damn good success doing what he's doing.
This too. The other thing for me with that is that you look at some of this, man, and like the situation. Look, you go over those Tennessee people to some degree have been wanting some of that Nico money back at various times throughout the year. Man. They have been looking for refunds at various times. So it's not, there's a thousand ways to skin this cat. And I would dare say, I feel 100% certain nobody has figured this thing out to a perfect
degree. No.
Nobody is managing this perfectly. Hey, call up Ole Miss, man. But see what they get. Say how you think their boosters are feeling today.
Oh my goodness.
They went all in and now they're on the outside looking in. So I mean, it's there's no sure things in this. There's no, you know,
there's this rev share too now. That's going to be another whole subject. That's going to be another subject. Okay. And that's something we're all learning how that's going to work. But Georgia is definitely going to benefit from the rev share. Now that's also going to be roster included. So Georgia's going to get X amount of money, but that's also going to be for that 85 man roster.
Right.
So that's going to be that is definitely going to benefit Georgia. The ref share, and that's going to be, I don't know that it's actually in this class.
Yeah.
But I know on paper it starts July the 1st, 2025.
Okay.
So I don't know all the technical stuff. So if Georgia were to finish number one, just say they finished one or two or three, where they're going to finish the top three class. Sure. And they did it without rev share, they're going to be even in a better situation next year. When everything goes to the university and also that rev share, they're going to do really good there. Everybody else is going to have money to deal with too, but the rev share is going to help Georgia. No question about it.
Yep. Yep. Rusty, it's hate week. Clean old fashioned hate on deck for Friday, which like I said, feels weird, but kind of cool. I kind of dig it. I don't mind the Friday thing. I think it's going to be fun actually. Night game for Georgia once again. Dogs in here. Going to be an interesting matchup, I think, because this Georgia Tech team, some ups and downs throughout the season for sure. I think Brent Key has this thing moving absolutely in the right direction. I said last year, it was the first time I'd felt this way in a long time. Watching Georgia play Georgia Tech last year, to me, it looked like Georgia Tech felt that they belonged on the same field as Georgia for the first time in a long time. There was a lot of times when they came out there and they looked defeated early on. They fought like hell last year in that game, and I expect that they'll do the same this year. Look, we were talking to Bryce Kuhn, who covers the team over for a couple of outlets, actually. But he was saying, you know, the big thing to watch this weekend is Haynes King. Sounds like he's got a shoulder, I think.
He's got a shoulder,
And
he can't throw.
He said it's going to be one of those situations where the kid wants to go, but it's going to be a pain tolerance thing. How far can he take this thing? Aaron Filo, who I know that both of us are familiar with, played there at Prince Avenue, coming back to town for the Yellow Jackets. Look, this is a team that's going to, I think, be able to look at some of the things that have been put on tape against Georgia, even as recently as this past week with UMass, and try to replicate those things, because I think they're things that Georgia Tech does well, actually.
They're really good in the run game, especially quarterback run. I think the one thing with Georgia Tech that gives you fits is the amount of motion. I mean, if you watch them, man, pre-snap motion, they will flip-flop the field. You got to know the strong side. You got to know the calls. Here's the thing. Georgia went against Buster Faulkner last year, and no doubt he saved some stuff for Georgia because he had them reeling. Now, he had them reeling for a little while, and, you know, they had a turnover here and a drop ball. They had a drop ball late in that game that really changed the momentum for Georgia Tech. But now teams have 2 years of Buster Faulkner, so some teams are starting to be a little better with that. The one thing with Georgia Tech, he wants to run. He wants to have quarterback run. Well, Haynes King, when he is healthy, Haynes King is a problem because of that offense. But the other side of having a running quarterback like that is you're going to take shots. And he's missed three or four games. He's played maybe two more. He can't throw the ball at all. I mean, they're using Aaron Filo, who's a really good freshman quarterback. And he's got some juice to him. And I know this kid, known since the ninth grade. He's wired right. The only thing I'll say about a young Aaron Filo right now is he will throw into coverage. So if Georgia can challenge him, they might can get a turnover here or there. But he's not a statue, so he's going to give you some issues. But they certainly should be keyed on Haynes King when he's in the game running the ball. I can't see him. He doesn't want to throw it. Other night I saw him, he just didn't throw it much at all. And everything he did was run. And a couple times he goes to the sidelines. You can see him holding his shoulder. And that's a tough kid, man. That is a really freaking tough kid to do that. So this is going to be interesting. But Georgia had an entire offseason to dissect that tape and what Buster Faulkner did to them. And we'll see what kind of adjustments they make second time. Roos, they got to tackle better. I don't care if they play Buford Friday night.
Yes.
They got to tackle better. You know what I mean? I watched it yesterday. There were so many broken tackles that just really hurt them. So they got to tackle better this week. And I think you're going to see that. I think you're going to see that juice from Georgia this week. I think you're going to see that at home, at night. Last time these kids, probably last time, if they handle business, last time they play in Sanford Stadium. If they win the next two, it certainly is the last time they'll play in Sanford Stadium.
Sure.
These seniors. So I think they're going to be fine there. But I do think – you know, and I did a breakdown tonight on Dogs HQ, wrote down some of my early thoughts. I do think Georgia's got one really clear advantage, and I talked about that on Dogs HQ today.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be interesting to see because, like I said, you know, Georgia Tech is moving in the right direction. Not that anybody here wants to hear that, I'm sure, but I think they've done a good job at reworking the roster. That recruiting class they're putting together this year is looking phenomenal. Yes. Compared to some of what we've seen, undefeated at home, I think for the first time in like 20 something years.
It's 99.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is a kudos to the Jackets. I know nobody wants to hear that.
I'm not going that far, but I will say this. Brent Key is doing a good job.
Yes,
and I think the world of Buster Faulkner. I have known Buster Faulkner for a long time. I think the world of him. And I said this on the radio last week. Last Thursday, three things were important to Georgia Tech: showing you could beat NC State, how good are you going to be against Georgia this time around, and can you keep Buster Faulkner? Because I'm telling you right now, there's going to be people coming after Buster Faulkner. Sure. And, you know, he's already getting mentioned in that Southern Miss head job where he's from. It's just going to be what he wants to do. You know, his son is a really good football. His son is a prospect. His son is a power four prospect, in my opinion. He's a junior quarterback at North Oconee. He's a really good player. He's having a great year. He throws to Landon Rowland, the Georgia commit. So there's a lot of variables in there, but I can assure you that Buster Faulkner is going to be someone that Georgia Tech's going to have to – they're going to pony up this time, man. They did last year, but they're going to pony up this time to keep him. So I think those are the three things you watch if you're on the Georgia Tech side of this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Guys, we'll have you covered on all things Georgia Tech, plus all things signing day, plus all things transfer portal, plus all things as it relates to the University of Georgia. Palmer's doing basketball. Jeremy's running around collecting
updates. How about basketball?
I know. It's tis the season, folks. The holidays are here, and
happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving.
Guys, have a great Thanksgiving. We will be back with you at some point this week for sure. Definitely previewing the game a little bit further. Dogs HQ Plus will be back with you. We're going to work another Bark After Dark in at some point. I don't know when we'll get around to it. We haven't really had a lot of time to breathe lately. So yeah. I'm looking forward to that as well. But guys, for this edition of the Georgia Show, we appreciate it. I'm Jake Roos. He's Rusty Bansell. We'll see you soon.